This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got five chapters. Yeah, five. A couple pretty short ones. But five chapters. The Starseeds of Earth. As we get into this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. It's about 23 minutes worth of story time over these five chapters. It's chapters 74 through 78, 74, 75, 76, 77, and 78, from the Starseeds of Earth. Laurel Eden is going to be bringing Justin Spears an empty starseed. She doesn't know it's empty, but how do you suppose she'll be rewarded? She'll get to meet Hap now, too. Real treat, I'm sure. Alibi and his people have to change plans to deal with her betrayal. Even as they continue to move the hornet's nest, there's no going back, so. Could this be enough to get Alibi to use the starseed? You can find out. We've got those five chapters coming up from the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. I don't have much in the way of book news for you right now, but we've got, you know, a substantial amount of story ahead. I hope that makes up for it. We'll get into that next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now here's Chapter 74 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Justin Spears handed Laurel Eden a slender silver ringlet, like an oversized bracelet, as she stepped out of the airlock and into the Stinger ship. "Put that on your head, quickly," he said. He showed her he had on one as well. She put the ringlet on her head, and it tightened into place, snug but not uncomfortable.
"The tech is courtesy of our friends in the Greater Ta," Spears said. "Keeps those with telepathic or other psionic abilities from getting into your head."
"Is that what I was feeling?" Laurel asked. "I started getting the worst headache as I pulled up to dock, and it just went away."
"I have some mentally powerful people on board," Spears said, "though fewer all the time, it seems. Have to stop them from all killing each other before I need them."
"Are they psionic or just psychos?" Laurel asked.
"Both," Spears said. "The two go together, apparently." "God, my head feels so much better," she said. "There was like this pressure before." "This bunch are very new with their abilities," Spears said. "Raw and untamed."
"Dangerous," Laurel said.
"That's why we have these," Spears said, pointing to the ringlet on his own head. "Some measure of protection. The Greater Ta dealt with the ancient enemy, who had these kind of powers. they needed to find ways to neutralize them.
Spears!
Laurel heard a man's voice bellow. She turned to see a sweaty, red-faced, somewhat husky man in a robe come shambling down the ship's corridor. His eyes looked, not crazy, but wrong. Just wrong.
Hap, Spears said in an even tone, I'd like you to meet Laurel Eden. She's just brought me my starseed.
Are you sure you want one? Hap asked. You've seen what it does to some people. If what you said is true, and my sacrament came from a starseed.
After what you told me? Spears asked. It had to. The legends say those who ingest the starseed substance gain great powers. Look at you and your people.
It has done things to me, Hap said. I hear too much now.
Hap cocked his head to the side and then looked more closely at Laurel.
You gave her one of those things.
Yes, I did, Spears said.
Good, Hap said. I don't hear her, and I don't hear you. I do hear little minds chirping all throughout that big rock over there, and a few flitting around outside of it. And just for a second, I thought I heard Alibi Jones. So, what are we doing here? Why are we at the Hornet's Nest?
We're the advance squad, Spears said. The stealthy opening attack. The Solar Alliance is about to reclaim the Hornet's Nest. I think we can do it ourselves. But there are more coming in behind us, or they will be, as soon as the Hornet's Nest is clear of this asteroid field.
Gotcha, Hap said. But we won't need them. And if we do this for you, your man Constantine takes care of us the way he said he would.
Constantine will take care of you, yes, for sure, Spears said, as promised.
Spears turned to Laurel Eden.
So, where is it?
In my cargo hold, she said. Under guard, until I get paid, as promised.
Shall we go see it, then?
Spears asked.
Sure, she said. Follow me.
She turned around and led Spears into the airlock. Hap moved to follow as well. Laurel stopped and turned back to Spears.
Not him, she said,
nodding at Hap.
Why not? Spears said. You're protected.
He nodded at her headband.
Besides, he's necessary for verification on the starseed.
Really, she said.
I'm not worried about me. I'm worried for my crew.
I won't hurt them, Hap said. I promise.
He looked hurt. And then it hit her. Hap reminded her of a fat, sloppy, evil Alibi Jones.
Laurel couldn't help herself. She laughed a little. What's so funny? Hap asked. You don't believe me?
No, you just reminded me of someone for a second, she said.
Who, Alibi Jones? Hap asked.
Yeah, how did you...
Spears cut her off.
Let's not go there, Spears said. Let's go see the starseed.
Him too? She asked.
Him too, Spears said.
She turned again and walked into the airlock to lead Spears and Hap to her trophy.
All this time they had it, like a month, and all they did was talk about it, Laurel said. I couldn't believe it. Never seen people who like to hear themselves talk so much. Alibi was all anguished about using it, too.
So they didn't use the starseed, Spears said. You told me that before.
That's important? She asked. So boring spying on them. Talk, talk, talk. No, they didn't use it. Not that I know of. Why?
You want to use it?
This way.
She showed them down the corridor to her ship's cargo hold.
Me and some very gifted and talented scientists want to study the stuff inside the starseed, Spears said.
Then, perhaps, use it. This could be quite a gift.
That is just a little bit crazy, she said. You know that, don't you?
I'd never even heard of these things until about 10 years ago, Spears said. I ran into someone looking for one, did some of my own research, and then I had to have one.
Then this is your lucky day, Laurel said. She opened the door to the cargo hold and ducked inside, poking her head back out.
Come on, through here.
A Dakur crewman stood guard over the starseed. A rough stone obelisk about 10 feet long, laying on its side, on the deck, in the center of the cargo bay.
Overhead spots cast limited light on the stone below.
"Here it is," Laurel said. "Wasn't that impressed when I finally got to see it. Just a big, long rock."
"Appearances can be deceiving," Spears said. "If you were over 1 million years old, went through re-entry without any additional covering, and then stood in the desert for millennia, you might look a little worn down, too."
"I guess," she said, disinterested.
"Besides, it's what's inside that counts," Spears said. "And that's where Hap comes in."
Spears turned to the man.
"Hap, open that thing."
Justin Spears pointed down at the starseed. Hap stared at him.
"How am I supposed to do that?" he asked.
"Hey, wait a minute," Laurel protested. "That's not yours to fuck with yet. You still need to pay me, Justin."
Spears gestured to Hap to hold back for the moment.
"Do I?" he said. "What did it cost you, huh?" "That was the job and our agreement," Laurel said. "Besides, it was work. Had to surveil, flirt with, and fuck Alibi Jones."
"Did you now?" Spears grinned. "And to think, I almost respected you, Laurel."
"Fuck you," she said. "Pay me."
"Absolutely," Spears said. He made a show of taking out his wand and triggering a bank transfer.
He turned the wand to show Laurel the screen.
"There, satisfied?"
"Thank you," she said. "But I really don't want you fucking with this thing on my ship. Why don't you and Hap take it with you and let me go on my way?"
"I don't think so," Spears said. "Hap, think hard at that stone and tell it to open with your mind."
"Tell it to open?" Hap asked.
"Yes."
"Okay."
Hap stared at the stone.
Crack!
The star seed opened up. Spears knelt down next to it and slid the cover out of the way. He looked inside, then reached in and probed the empty interior.
"There's nothing in here," he said.
"So?" Laurel said. "What were you expecting?"
"The shit that makes these things so valuable," Spears said. "And worth the money I just gave you." "Hap, kill the guard."
"What?"
Before Laurel could react, Hap turned, stared at the Dakur, and the Catman crumbled to the deck. Laurel turned back from her dead friend to see Spears holding a small blaster.
"Sorry. You're a liability now, Laurel," Spears said. "And worse than that, you wasted my time."
Justin Spears shot Laurel Eden at point-blank range. With the destructive power of the small gun, she was dead before she hit the deck.
"How many others on board?" Spears asked.
Hap shut his eyes for a moment, then looked at Spears. 4, Hap said.
"Kill them,"
Spears said. Hap closed his eyes, opened them again.
"Done." "Good."
Justin Spears bent over and pulled the silver ringlet off Laurel's head. He straightened up and headed for the door.
"What about this thing?"
Hap asked, gesturing at the starseed.
"Leave it," Spears said. "Thing's worthless to me now."
The two men left the cargo bay and made their way through the airlock back to Spears' stinger ship. After the airlock closed, Spears triggered explosive bolts on the docking collar to detach Laurel Eden's ship from theirs.
"Hap, can you use your mind to push that ship away from us?" Spears asked.
"Sometimes I can, but I think Kai could do it better," Hap said. "Should I get her?"
"Yes," Spears said. "Please."
Chapter 75.
"And they docked?" Hector asked.
Alibi filled him in as he flew back from his rock blasting. Hector couldn't believe it.
"Wow, she's bad news, huh?"
The Libra Campista pulled up alongside the 80 Foster.
"Yeah," Alibi said. "I still have them on visual. Wait a sec, something's happening."
As Alibi watched, the smaller ship moved rapidly sideways away from the stinger, as if pushed by an invisible hand. It careened into a small asteroid, collided with it, spun around,
and began flipping end over end off through the asteroids. A small explosion marked its end a moment later.
Holy shit, Alibi said. I think they just killed Laurel and her crew. Unless they're on the Stinger.
If Hap can do that with his mind, what chance do we have against him? Against that? Well, there might be something I can do.
Alibi, why are you here? What are you doing back on board? Emily said. She greeted him as he brought the A.D. Foster in and docked at an airlock Laurel hadn't blown up, leaving.
We have a high-level threat out there, Alibi said. I don't know what kind of deal Laurel tried to do with them, but they've probably killed her. Her ship is gone, destroyed.
Good, Emily said. She deserved it.
Judgmental much?
There's a Stinger ship lurking out there, Alibi said. I'm not sure who else is on board, but I know my half-brother Hap is, the one who held me prisoner, the one who augmented and altered himself and his mind in the name of God.
Yeah, you told me about him, Emily said. Did you ever find out if he had a starseed?
No, but he seemed to. He had something, Alibi said. Something altered him, made him scary dangerous. I opened my mind just a little to try and scan for that Stinger ship among the stars, and he was broadcasting his thoughts like a loudspeaker, much stronger than when I was on the planet with him, and not right at all, less human.
So why are you back on board? Emily said, coming back around to her initial question, and she didn't like what she already thought she knew to be the answer. She stared at him, the rest of the question unspoken.
I have to, Alibi said.
No, you don't, she said. And if it's making him less human, what is it going to do to you?
I don't know.
She stared at him some more.
You don't know, she said, finally. It wasn't a question.
Yet here you are.
Gotta do something, Alibi said. We're under attack.
Are we? Emily said.
Doesn't feel like it.
Are you getting a headache? Alibi said. A little pressure behind the eyes?
Emily looked at him, puzzled, thinking.
I do, she said. It's been creeping up.
That's him, Alibi said. That's Hap. Mental pressure from his presence.
Well, him, and there might be more with him. It's hard to tell.
More?
I don't think he's alone, Alibi said.
Are the rest of them going to be okay out there without you? Emily asked.
That I know, Alibi said. They'll be fine. They're all skilled pilots. They have your accurate information and plotting. They didn't really need me out there. I left Hector in charge.
I heard you do that, she said.
My fear is that Hap will just snuff them out, Alibi said.
He's that powerful? Emily said. He can just think them dead?
That's what I felt, Alibi said. That sort of power, and that little regard for life.
Emily stared at him again, but then broke off and frowned, looking down at the floor.
Be careful, she said. But she knew Alibi wasn't going to be careful at all.
I will, Alibi said. I'll try to be.
Emily watched him turn and walk away, off to his office.
Chapter 76. Just keep blasting the rocks, Hector said. We can't track that Stinger ship. Just keep aware of it. And if you do see any movement, speak up. Now, everybody check in. Start up front. Kit, you there?
I am here, Kit said. All clear.
DJ?
On starboard. No sign of anything but rocks from here, Hector, DJ said.
Grizz, Gentry, how are things up top?
Grizz here,
Grizz said. All clear. I see Gentry just ahead of me.
Right here, Gentry said. Clear, and Grizz is right there behind me.
Bobby, how's the bottom treating you?
Did I ever tell you I played bass? Bob said. Holding down the bottom. Feel like I'm back in my gigging days.
You are always revealing new facets, my friend, Hector said.
Or you're bullshitting. Can never tell for sure. Thanks, Bobby. Roger that. Katie, what's happening in back? Hold on a rock run, Katie said. I'm here.
Good, Hector said.
Hector squinted out towards where the stinger was hiding, off to the port side of the hornet's nest. He tried to shake off the headache that was building up behind his eyes, then pinched the bridge of his nose to try to get some relief. It didn't help. He caught a glint of starlight off metal or a viewport. It was still hanging back out there. What are they up to? Hector said to himself. Chapter 77. And then there were three, Spears said. Kai was dead now, too. Looked like she had bled out through her ears, like her brain had melted. Spears thought the effort of throwing Laurel Eden's ship away might have overtaxed the poor woman. Hap stood by and hung his head, depressed.
I liked her, Hap said. She was much favored by the Lord.
Or not, Spears said. Hap looked up and glared at him.
You are very lucky to be wearing that silver thing around your head, Hap said, his whispered voice filled with menace. My agreement with your boss does not include listening to you sacrilegiously slander my friends and question their holiness and grace.
Spears stared at Hap until he finished. Then he looked down at Kai's corpse and back up at Hap. He arched his eyebrows, but didn't say a word.
It is not for us to question when the Lord calls his own home, Hap said.
Damned convenient, that, Spears said. But okay, sure. God bless her.
Chapter 78. Alibi locked the door to his office behind him. He wasn't sure what good that did. He looked at the view screen hiding the small vault and sighed. Do I really want to do this? No, of course not. I've been pure consciousness. Part of an alien consciousness. I've met my dead father on the astral plane. The imaginal world, whatever you want to call it. And in dreams. And once in the flesh, traveling back in time. I've been in dead-end timelines. Seen variations on how my life could have turned out. Reality. Ha! None of this seems all that solid and real when you get right down to it.
Alibi slid the view screen out of place and opened the vault. He reached in and pulled out the small obsidian cube and the glowing blue quartz. Holding one in each hand, he walked back to his desk. He set them on the desktop in front of him as he sat down. The near cube of not obsidian on the left, quartz-like light blue chunk on the right.
What secrets and madness do you two hold? I need to open my mind to do anything, but do I dare with Hap out there?
A thought came to him. Selective containment. Learn selective containment. Stabilize your field. Alibi stared at the two objects.
I know that came from one of you, but which one?
Another thought came. This is knowledge. Perhaps, then, the knowledge base.
Alibi stared at the black cube. How is it you get through?
Thought. Physical contact. We have been in touch.
Why didn't you speak before, that last time? I know we were in contact. I could sense the knowledge, see that it was there. And yet could access so little. And then? To fall for hours? That was mean.
Another thought came. Not the intent. Unaware that was your perception. Correcting.
Are you artificial intelligence?
There was a pause. Another thought. Yes. There is no biological entity involved. Do you not have artificial intelligences?
We did, long ago, but something went wrong.
We passed laws and banned the more complex ones. Everything has limits now. You are a prohibited device. Thought, and yet, it is revealed in your mind space, a coveted device. You are. People have killed trying to possess you. Thought, prohibited, yet coveted. Once we're told we can't have a thing, we often want that thing even more. We are complicated and not necessarily consistent. Thought, just as you do not desire what you have chosen to do. No, I do not. But I must, and Hap is why. I don't know if your sensors allow you to feel him or his mental energy, but he's lurking out there in a Solar Alliance Stinger ship, and I don't know why. If you can sense him, you know his mind has gotten so powerful, his telekinetic abilities included, that he can snuff out people's lives with a mere thought. He has never seemed sane to me. If he gets on this station, I'm afraid he'll kill everyone on board. Without a thought. I mean, with his thoughts, but without a conscience. And I don't know how else to stop him. A woman I was starting to trust stole the starseed container. Killed people to do it. She brought it out there to him, or at least to that stinger ship. Now her ship's destroyed, and I'm pretty sure she's dead, too. Much as betrayal hurts, I didn't wish her dead. She should have stood trial. Thought, there is a lurking malevolence, sensible at the outer limits of perception. It would do well not to waste more time on idle preliminaries. Your purpose is revealed in your mind space, as you were already informed. Further delay is not advised. You telling me to get on with it?
That was Chapter 78 of The Starseeds of Earth. We heard Chapters 74, 75, 76, and 77 as well. Alibi Jones has been altered by the Starseed. Laurel Eden is dead, her crew, and perhaps people are dying from their modifications. Everything is kind of crashing together as we head towards a major confrontation on board the Hornet's Nest. Listen in for a long chapter, one long chapter next time, instead of five sort of short ones. One long chapter on our next episode. There's going to be a showdown. I've got ELO in my head. From their album On the Third Day, you remember Showdown? And it's raining all over the world. There's going to be a showdown. I don't think I was in tune there, sorry. Just thinking thoughts of ELO. And our next chapter, Chapter 79, of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on our next episode. If you've enjoyed what you've heard and are a regular listener, I'd love it if you could support the podcast by becoming a patron. You can do that at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and just click on the Patreon link. There are three different levels. There's a $2, $5, and $10 level, and that's per month. Patreon collects that from you, and I get to take that money and put it towards the podcast, keep paying, you know, the hosting fees and all the different costs that go into putting a podcast together. I'm not making any money, but at least this helps me break even, which is very cool. And that's why I appreciate my patrons. I don't have a lot as things go. I know there's, you know, many people on Patreon with many more, but I have my patrons and they are awesome. You are awesome if you're my patrons. So thank you. And if you want to get on board or just find out what's going on with that, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the Patreon link. And that is all for this episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation, copyright 2022 by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.